I want to ask you please to turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You'll notice that this psalm is divided in a unique way among the psalms. It's divided into a group of 22 8-verse stanzas. I only want to read one of them this morning. I'm not going to read all 22 of them right now. But I want to begin reading at verse 105. And I'm going to ask you to read with me from 105 through 112. And I would ask you, in light of what we just watched placed into Sister Michaela's hands today, I want you to notice the language, especially in verse 105. Now, this will be a sermon that is true for her. I'm not going to just aim it at her, but it's going to also be true for every one of us. Because the writer of the psalm says to the Lord, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. And I would ask you to join me and turn our minds to the throne of grace in prayer again. Father, this book is your book. This is your word. And so, Father, as we have read from among the verses of it today, we come rejoicing that it is your message directed to your children each day of life. But Father, as you are the giver of this word, as you are the inspirer of this word, as you are the speaker of this word, I pray, O Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would now anoint and empower this word to our hearts and our minds here today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to stand to try to preach your word. But Lord, it's not my voice, it's not my power, it's not my strength that is needed. It is yours. And I plead, Father, that as we hear your word today, that we would be reminded afresh that your word, this book that we know as the Bible, this book written by many different men over many different years, yet inspired in one way, this book is a lamp and a light to us today. Help us, O Father, to see it, and to see it in light of the context of David's life experience, and that as we see what he has said in these verses, we would share in the statement that your testimonies rejoice our. Help us, for Christ's name's sake, I pray. And amen. We come on this day that we've remembered Sister Michaela's upcoming graduation. And I point to that as a reminder that life is full of turning points, full of thresholds, full of new opportunity. Took me a long time to come to appreciate this, but when I was old, when I was not quite so old, and when I had the opportunity to graduate, they used to refer to it especially as commencement. I came to appreciate the fact that when I grew to realize that graduating from high school and later from college was not an end in itself. It was indeed a turning point in life. It was one of those mile markers that you decorate and you look upon and you remember very fondly. But each one is the commencement of a new step in life. You graduate from high school and you're 17, 18 years old and you've been thinking for years, when am I going to get out of here? And then all of a sudden you're out and you realize that now life is very different. You may be going into college. You may be taking some other path. But you realize that I'm on a new road now. How do I clearly look ahead in my path and know what to do and know how to walk it? And that's when David's word in Psalm 119, verse 105, becomes very prominently applicable. Thy word, Lord, is the lamp unto my feet, and it is the light unto my path. I want you to notice these words for just a moment and notice the specific words that are used here. Because there are two of them that are together, and while they give an overall idea, they're not the same words. There's a lamp, and there's a light. The lamp comes from a word which speaks of a burner, an implement. We could look at them in several different ways. A flashlight. A torch, a lantern. It's a vessel that is used to put in front of us. But it's not much profit to us without the light that comes out of it. The light is the illumination. It is the visibility, it is the clarity that comes out. But what I want you to notice is David reminds us that his word, that God's word, the scriptures, are both the vessel and the illumination. God's word is the source and the direction of the clarity and the guidance and the visibility that come to us because it is both the vessel that holds it, the vessel that sustains it. You know, you got a flashlight, and I'll just use that as a common illustration. You have a flashlight, and you know you got the case of it. You know you got a battery, a power source stuck in there. You know you got a bulb that gives you the radiation. You got a switch that turns it on. It's a lot of different components. But all of it together becomes the vessel. What I want you to see is there's 66 books in here. But all 66 of them compose the vessel through which we get God's illumination for our life. I've heard people say, sadly, that I don't need the Bible, the Spirit will guide me. Well, guess what? The Spirit guides you through the Word of God. The Spirit will never guide you in opposition to the Word of God. It will never take you in a different direction from the stated truth in the Word of God. Therefore, the stated truth of God's Word is the vessel that illuminates the path that God calls you to walk. Think about it this way. That illumination, that brightness, is what we see in Jesus Christ. The Bible is the light as well as the lamp. But what is He showing us? Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, He was talking to Jewish men who were about Him as well as to His disciples. And He said, "Search the Scriptures, For these are in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Now, why is it important to understand that the Bible is the light that illuminates us through Jesus Christ? If you go back into John again, and you go into John chapter 1, notice the beginning. We know very well the first three verses. We often hear them quoted. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But then notice these next two verses. In Him, in the Word, in the one that was God, in the one that was with God in the beginning, in the one who made all things, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In Jesus Christ, we see the light of men. He shines to light men. He came in the world. All men were able to see Him. Not all men believed on Him. He shined before all men, but all men didn't comprehend the light. Darkness, John chapter 3 tells us that Jesus came into the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But He goes on to say that darkness, that men loved darkness rather than light. You see, the nature of men wants its own self. It wants its own nature. It wants sin. And it loves darkness rather than light. And because of that darkness, we don't comprehend the light unless through the Holy Spirit our eyes are given faith to see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light that has shined before men. Jesus Christ is the light that has come into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the Word of God. He is the one of whom the Word testifies. And guess what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Scripture tells it to us another way in the book of Malachi. God said, I am the Lord. And I think this is Malachi chapter 3. I believe it's verse 8. I am the Lord. I change not. Okay? So if He's the Lord, He's God come in the flesh, and God doesn't change, then we can say of Him He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, because He as God isn't going to change. Now, I make that connection simply to say the illumination that comes out of this book, all of the teaching that comes out of this lamp, all of the instruction that we're given in this writing is given to us to see Jesus Christ. He gives us a lot of different instruction. He gives us a lot of different specific commandments and teachings. He gives us a lot of parts. He uses a statement in the Old Testament. He speaks through one of the prophets. He said that of the Word of God, He said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's a big book. A lot of pages in it. But you know, one of the marvelous beauties about it is that it's given to us in such a way that we can take little line upon line and build our knowledge. You're not going to lay your head down upon it and have it absorb all into your brain at one time. I wished many a times I'd had a math book I could do that with. I wished I had a history book I could do that with. Would have made my studying much easier. But I've come to appreciate that if it came that easily in this book, first of all, I'd miss a whole lot of the intricacies that God has woven together for the full light to shine forth. We're not going to study this book all at one time. We're not going to get it all in one day. But every word that's in here is important. Every word that's in here is given to us under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Holy Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So Jesus spoke it. And today the Holy Spirit teaches it to us and brings it to our remembrance as we have need of it. It is the illumination that shines before us. So as we read His Word, we're looking at the light. As the Holy Spirit implants us in our mind, we're seeing the path. But I want you to look at what David said in the other verses, because these verses sort of describe our lives in a nutshell. Look at what he says beginning in verse 106. "I have sworn, I've made a promise to God. I've made a promise to myself. I've made a vow, and I will keep thy righteous judgment." I made a promise that I'm going to obey. Who was he promising? First of all, he promised God. When God gave him his word, and God began for David to understand, he said, "Okay, God, you're showing me this. I promise you I'm going to try to walk by it. I promise myself I'm not going to turn away from it. I'm going to hang on to it." You see, brothers and sisters, in a very simple, straightforward way, that statement reminds us that as we're given the Word of God, we gave it to Sister Michaela in a book form this morning. All of us have copies of it. All of us have one or more with us. But as we hold on to the lamp, as we hold on to the flashlight, as we hold on to the lantern, what we have to promise ourselves in advance is, as the illumination comes out, I'm going to walk in the path that illuminates. I'm not going to hold the flashlight over here and go off in the dark. I'm going to walk. I'm going to keep the instructions that God gives me. Now look at what he said. Two verses, 107 and 109. You see, that statement wasn't made in some kind of spiritual euphoria. That statement wasn't made in a vacuum. It was made in the struggles of his life. Look at 107. "I am afflicted very much." Look at verse 109. "My soul is continually in my hand." I am afflicted. David had problems, and I understand the connection of that is when it says his soul, he constantly had to handle his life. He constantly had to handle the things that he faced. He constantly had to deal with his own heart. He constantly had to deal with the struggles of the feelings of shortcoming, that when he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and the choices that he... "My life is constantly in my hands. My life's mine to live. I'm going to handle it." Whoa. Look at what he said. "Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. And yet, verse 110, I erred not from thy precepts. In handling my life, I haven't turned away from the instructions that you've given me. My soul, my daily breathing, my daily walking, my daily thinking, my daily actions are in my hands. I read a quote from a well-known athlete. His mother had given him some advice at a very troubling time in his life. They'd lost a rather important ball game, and he was really down about it. Some people had said some rather unkind things. And his mother drew him aside and told him that those other people weren't writing his story. He was writing his story. And what they wrote and what they said weren't the determining factors. What he did, how he handled it, was writing his story. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, that that's what David was saying. I handle my soul. My soul's continually in my hands. And as I handle it, I'm not going to turn away from the directions and from the instructions and from the illumination of the Word of God. You see, I have afflictions. I have problems. Guess what? If the Lord lets you get up tomorrow, you're still going to have some afflictions. And you're still going to have some troubling decisions to make. Our world is that way. Adam and Eve sort of set it up that way when they disobeyed God. But we do have a light to show us the right direction to go. We have the opportunity to make commitments to the Lord. We have an opportunity to clean up our path. 108 says, I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precept. How do I miss the snare? Satan lays snares for us. Satan tempted Jesus. By the way, that tells us that temptation itself is not a sin. To be tempted is not a sin. Because Jesus, we're told of Jesus that Jesus faced all the temptations that we face, yet without sin. What I want you to see is if Satan tempted Jesus to draw him away from obedience to his Father, we can bet that he's going to lay some traps for us along the way as well. How do I see the traps? How do I move them away from my life? Go back to Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why? By taking heed to the word, by grabbing a hold of the word, the light is shining upon our path. With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Folks, what I want you to see today in this particular point is that we live in a wicked world. We live with snares. We live with tests that are constantly put in front of us. We live with choices that we constantly have to make. It would be nice if there was something that you and I could do to stop all of it. But that's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. We can teach people the Word of God. We can learn it ourselves. The wicked's going to keep happening. That's not a failure of God. That's a reality of the presence of sin. Through His Word, we are able to clean up our path. We're able to miss some of the snares. We're given direction that lets us see Satan's operation. We're not ignorant, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. God shows us what they are, so when they appear to our life, His Word is a light, a lamp and a light to our path. But what I want you to see too is in the middle of these afflictions, in the middle of this struggle, I don't care whether you're a senior in high school, whether you're a senior citizen, or whether you're just getting started good. It really doesn't matter. God's Word is the lamp, the vessel that has all the parts and the illumination that shines on your way. Now what does that do? Look at verse 111. Thy testimony have I taken as an heritage forever. Your testimonies, your word, Lord, has become my heritage. You gave it to me. Have you got anything in your house that belonged to someone who was very special to you? Those things may not mean very much to a lot of other people, but they hold very prominent places of attachment in our lives as we remember the one from whom they came. That's what David's saying. Lord, your word, what you've given me, is my heritage. When I look at it, I'm reminded it's not just an instruction book. It's a gift from my Father. It's not just old history. It's a living gift from my God. It's my heritage forever. Don't look upon this book as a legal document. Look upon it as a gift from God who loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you. What does that heritage do? They are the rejoicing of my heart. My heart has afflictions. My soul is constantly in my hand. But the thing that rejoices my heart is the light that God shines on my way that says to me, I'm there. That says He's there. It says to me, when the decision has to be made, His wisdom is there. He'll show me. When I've fallen and I have to get up, His strength is there. He'll show me. His testimonies rejoice our heart. A lot of people looking for joy in the world today. A lot of people looking for ways of rejoicing their heart. I would tell you this morning, beloved, that the Lord's light is the unchanging source and reason of joy within our life, because that light begins with Jesus Christ. Joy is a simple little word, but it's a rather large acrostic. Write J-O-Y, the rejoicing. And then underneath the J, write the word, the rest of the word, Jesus. Write the O, and underneath write the rest of the word, others. And under the Y, write the rest of the word, yourself. Because the light that God gives us in His Word reminds us that Jesus Christ is the starting place. He is the light that shined in our... God hath, as the light shined out of darkness, Paul says, God hath shined in our hearts by the light of the knowledge of the face of Jesus Christ. He's the starting place of your joy. I don't care what job you have. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what kind of trinkets you own in your life. Jesus is the starting place of lasting joy in your life. Serving others is the sustaining action of that joy. And knowing that others are more highly thought of than yourself is the comfort of it, because if you're doing what Jesus wants you to do, then you know that Jesus has that same principle in effect in other people's lives, and He's going to be the starting place, and they're going to be serving others, and you're going to be the other. And they'll be treating you the same way they want to be treated. And when we understand that God works that way in our life, and all of the testimonies that he gives, all of the principles that he gives, all of it comes together in the joy of our heart. Then we can be like David and say, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Thy word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Therefore, I can have this assurance. I'm not alone. I'm not in the dark. God knows what's in front of me. And I can do what he tells me to do. I hope all of us today, seniors in high school, pray for Michaela, pray for others who are in that same boat like her. They face challenges in this world. Younger children that are just getting started, pray for them that they would understand that the word of the Lord is more important than any history book or math book or any other book. And for those of us that have been around a little while, understand that it's just as important to us today as it was the day you first believed in it. That we don't take it lightly, that we don't get careless of it. That we live the example that we try to tell those that are younger that come along after. But senior in high school, beginner in school, or senior citizen, may we all three make the same commitment that David made. He said, I will always keep your word. I'll believe in Jesus Christ. I'll take my cross and I'll follow him. May God bless is my prayer for Christ's sake.